Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm grateful to God and thankful to the oversight for giving me this opportunity to share God's word. It is such a joy and privilege to stand in God's presence and his people. His word spoke to me when I was preparing, and I pray that it's going to speak to all of us this morning. I heard a story about a church member who always slept during the sermon. Every Sunday, as soon as the preacher started preaching, knockout. One day, the preacher said to the man sitting next to him, "Please wake him up." The man replied, "You put him to sleep, you wake him up. So please don't go make me go around waking people up today. If I do see someone trying to sleep, I'm going to request them to read a verse from the Bible so that we'll all know who that knockout person is." So please listen carefully what God wants to speak to us this morning. Before we go any further, let me ask you a very simple but important question. Who or what do we really love? Who or what has your heart? Who or what captures your affection? Because today we use the word love for everything. We say, "I love God." And we say, "I love biryani," the same word. We say, "I love to worship." And in the same breath, we say, "I love irachi fry." No difference in tone. No difference in depth. Today, believers say, "I love God." But we also say, "I love my bike. I love my phone. I love my job. I love this actor. I love that superhero." And some of us know more about Iron Man than about Jesus Christ. We can explain the multiverse perfectly, but not the kingdom of God. So the word love has become blurry. And because the meaning of love has become thin, our love for God has also become thin. So listen carefully. There's a difference between enjoying something and giving your heart to something. There's a difference between loving food and loving God. There's a difference between loving hobbies and loving God. There's a difference between loving entertainment and loving God. One love is temporary and the other one is eternal. So we must ask ourselves honestly, who or what do I love the most? Who or what has the first place in my heart? Who or what do I run first to? Who or what do I protect the most? Because whatever your heart runs to first, that is your God. Not the God you sing to on a Sunday, not the God you turn to on a Monday, because love reveals lordship. And Jesus knew the human heart is so easily distracted and easily pulled away by a thousand lesser loves. And this is why he had to make it very clear and absolutely clear which love must come first. So please turn with me to Mark chapter 12. If someone could read verses 28 to 31.
"Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'What is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second one like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'"
Remember, the Jews believed the 613 commandments in the Torah in our Old Testament. That 613 laws, rules or instructions. But Jesus summarized everything in just two sentences. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." He didn't say, "Go to church every Sunday, pray long prayers, fast for 40 days, memorize scripture. All these are good, but love is greater. It is the greatest." Christianity is not a religion of rules. It is a relationship of love. If we obey these two commandments, we won't need 1,000 rules, because true love for God changes everything. It changes how we live. It changes how we think. It changes how we speak. It changes how we treat others. These two commandments are not just instructions. They are a lifestyle. The words begins with, love the Lord your God. Because everything, absolutely everything in a believer's life begins with love. Loving God is not a commandment, it is the commandment. Before obedience, before ministry, before serving, before giving, there must be loving. To love God means to hate sin. This may surprise some of us. If we love God, should we really hate something? Could someone read Psalm 97 verse 10? Psalm 97 verse 10.
You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the life of the saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked.
Not hate people, not hate his creation, but hate evil. Loving God and loving sin cannot live in the same heart. We cannot say I love you while protecting the very sin he died to destroy. We see an example from the Bible. Joseph loved God, so he hated sin. When Potiphar's wife tempted him, he did not negotiate. He didn't say, let me pray about it. Let me think about it. Let me ask for confirmation. He ran. He didn't run because he was weak. He ran because he was strong enough to love God more than pleasure. If you love God, you don't flirt with sin. You fight it. Now the example is Daniel. Daniel loved God, so he hated to compromise. When everyone bowed down to idols, Daniel stood. Loving God, he is taking a stand. And then he goes on to say, love God with all your heart. In Matthew 6:21 we read, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The heart is the throne. Whatever you love the most sits there. The heart is the center of emotions, desires, and loyalty. When we truly love someone, they hold our attention. We think of them, we miss them, and we desire their presence. If we love God with all our heart, he is not a Sunday appointment. He is not part of our life. He is the center of our lives. He becomes the first thought in the morning, the last thought at night, and the hidden joy behind every single decision. You see, love makes everything natural. Nobody forces a person who is in love to think about them, to speak about them, or to speak to them, or to spend time with them. But many believers try to love God through discipline alone. They pray because they should. They read the Bible because they must. They worship because it is Sunday. God is not looking for performance. He is looking for passion. One day a wife told her husband, you say you love me, but I don't see it. He said, just because you don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. It's like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it's powerful. She replied, well, your Wi-Fi is very weak. Some believers say that they love God, but their spiritual Wi-Fi has just one bar. It's very weak. Loving God with all your heart means, Lord, this heart beats for you. When God asked for Isaac, Abraham obeyed. Why? Because his love for God was greater than his love for blessing. Real love for God cost something. If your love for God has never cost you something, it is not love, it is convenience. And then love God with all your soul. The soul is our expression, our passion, our hunger, our worship. When our soul loves God, our worship is in quiet. Praise is enforced. Gratitude flows and God's presence moves us deeply. And we see David dance before the Lord, not because he was full of emotions, because he loved his God. His wife criticized him, and David replied, I will become even more undignified than this for my God. Love expresses itself. If we shout for cricket, cry in movies, and argue politics, but sit silent before the God who saved our souls, something is wrong with our love. The third one is, love God with all your mind. That is, with all our thoughts and all our decisions. This mind is a battlefield. Loving God with all our mind means thinking holy, feeding on scripture, rejecting lies, controlling thoughts, making decisions with God in mind. The world says, follow your heart, but God says, renew your mind. You cannot love God with a mind full of garbage. The Bereans examine scripture daily, not shallow believers, thinking believers. Christianity is not a blind faith, it's informed faith. Another joke about husband and wife. Our wife told her, you never listen to me. You only hear what you want to hear. The husband replied, sure, I'd love some biryani. Many of us do this with God. He calls us chosen, loved, forgiven. But we only hear things that we want to. But we ignore the truth. He speaks over us. We say, I don't believe it. Loving God with your mind means choosing truth over feelings. Loving God with all of your strength. Strength means energy, effort, discipline, service, purity, sacrifice. Loving God with strength means showing up, serving joyfully, obeying faithfully, giving sacrificially, walking in purity, and choosing righteousness every single time. Love is action and not mere words. A husband told his wife, I would climb, continue the sentence, you all know this. I would climb the highest mountain, swim every ocean, walk through the fire for you. So she said, can you take the trash out? He said, now you're pushing your luck. Love is not proven by big speeches, but by small obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not because we fear him, because we love him. So till now we have seen that to love God with all your heart is to desire him. To love God with all your soul or our soul is passionately worship him. To love God with all our mind is to think like him. And to love God with all our strength is to obey him. Now we'll move on to love people, the second commandment. So you must be wondering, why am I sharing a lot of jokes about husband and wife, right? I just completed 9th wedding anniversary, and my wife is not here, so I have this opportunity. And again, a wife asked her husband, do you love me? He said, of course. She said, would you die for me? He said, no, mine is undying love. Some believers have undying love too. No fire, no passion, just theory. We cannot love God deeply and love people lightly. Could Sherlyn read the 1 John 4:20? Not that you're sleeping, but you could read 1 John 4:20, please.
If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?
Strong words, but true. If we truly love Jesus, we will love the people Jesus died for. Let's look at what loving our neighbor means today. And this command expresses whether we truly love God. Let's break it down. The first one, love sees people as God sees them. Every person is created in God's image, even the difficult ones. The annoying co-worker, image bearer. The relative who hurt you, image bearer. The neighbor who complains, image bearer. The believer who left the church, image bearer. If they matter to God, they must matter to us. When we love people, we honor God's image in them. Second one is to love shows mercy. Real love doesn't ask, is he my kind of a person? It asks, is he in need? Love goes beyond circles, preferences, and comfort zones. The third is love forgives. Love forgives quickly. We live in the most sensitive generation in history. People get offended easily. Leave relationships quickly, friendships, church, marriages, because hearts have become soft towards sin and heart toward forgiveness. Yet Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. Forgive. Forgiveness is not a decision. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a decision. We forgive not because they deserve it. We forgive because Jesus forgave us first. A forgiven heart must become a forgiving heart. Love speaks kindly. Words are dangerous weapons. People speak sarcasm, criticism, gossip, negativity, anger, curse, rumors. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Love speaks life. It says, I appreciate you. I forgive you. I'm praying for you. You matter. How can I help? I'm sorry. A few soft words can heal wounds that years of silence cannot. Love serves others. Jesus just didn't love. Jesus didn't love with words. He loved with action. In John 13 we read, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, even Judas's, the one who betrayed him. And that is love. To love our neighbors is to help, to support, to visit, to give, to pray, to encourage, to comfort. Love means noticing the needs around us. God expects us to share the things that we have received from him. Love without conditions. The word says, I love you if. I'll care for you when. I'll forgive you after. I'll be kind as long as. But Jesus says, I love you anyway. We love because Jesus first loved us. Love even when others don't. Jesus warned, the love for many will grow cold in Matthew 24:12. We are living in a world where families are broken, friendships are fragile, churches are divided, hearts are hardened, people are isolated, and compassion is fading. But Jesus said, by this, the world will know you are my disciples. What is this, if you can continue? By this, the world will know you are my disciples. If you love one another, not by preaching, not by singing, if you love one another. Love is our identity. Dear CGF family, his entire teaching, there's two commandments. They're not just theology, they are our lifestyle. They're the heartbeat of a believer's life. It can be summarized in one simple truth. Loving God and loving each other. There's this beautiful song by Geeta. I've heard a version by Geeta, Loving God and Loving Each Other. It's one of my favorite songs. And this is what pleases the heart of God. This is what the church was created for. But this morning, if we are honest, many of us are not living this anymore. We know the commandment, but we have lost this passion. We have the words, but we have lost the fire. So imagine Jesus walking into this church this morning, and he would look straight into our hearts, and he might say, you're very regular to church, you know the Bible, but you don't love me like you used to. In Revelation 2:4, Ephesian church, you have left your first love. You have left your first love, not lost, left slowly. So he's asking us, do you remember? Do you remember when you first fell in love with me? You couldn't wait for church. You prayed with tears. You worshipped freely. You forgave quickly. You read the Bible with hunger. You told others about Jesus. But for many, the fire has cooled. Let's see, what is the first love? First love when Jesus is first. He is the first in time. He is first in decisions. He is first in finances. He is first in affection. He is first in priority. He wasn't a Sunday appointment. He was the center of our life. And how do we lose our first love? It doesn't happen in a day. It happens slowly. Prayer life weakens. Bible becomes rare. Worship becomes routine. Offense enters. Love grows cold and heart disconnects. We all know the story of Mary and the alabaster jar. It is the picture of first love. Mary broke the expensive perfume worth a year's salary. and pour it on Jesus. The disciples said, what a waste. Jesus said, this is love. Love, or first love, is extravagant. And it gives, it always gives the best. And we also see how Jesus calls us to restore first love. He doesn't shout, he doesn't reject, or doesn't condemn. In Revelation 2:5, he gives us three steps. Remember, repent, and return. He says, remember when Jesus was your first love. When we first loved Jesus with joy. When scripture thrilled us. When we forgave easily. When worship moved us. When we were hungry for his presence. And if we once had fire, we can have it again. And the second one is to repent. It is saying, Lord, I'm wrong. Restore my heart. And then we can hear Jesus saying, come back, I want you. He's not angry, he's calling. Repentance restores relationships. And the third one is to return. He's asking us to do the first works again. Pray again, worship again, serve again, forgive again, obey again, love again, and pursue again. Feelings follow obedience. Fire follows surrender. Return and the flame returns. The greatest danger in the Christian life is not failure. It's not weakness. It's not struggle. The greatest danger is the heart that no longer burns for Jesus. A believer without first love is like a lamp without oil, a body without breath, a marriage without affection, a church without Jesus. God is not asking us today, are you serving? Are you attending? Are you active? He's asking us one question. Do you love me like you did before? If your love is faded, we can return. If our fire has cooled down, God can rekindle it. If our passion has died, the Holy Spirit can revive us. Jesus is not calling us to try harder. He's calling us to come closer. Return to our first love. Return to our first fire. Return to our first passion. Let the fire burn again. Let the love live again. Amen.